Chapter 1. Lost in the Sahara. The stark beauty of the Sahara surrounded our little caravan of 7 Volkswagen vans as we drove south from Tamanrasset, Algeria. It would take 6 days to reach the next oasis in Agadez, Niger, where we would find our next supply of fuel and water. 39 of us from 3 missionary training schools were driving down from Europe to assist some of the needy of West Africa. In Niger, our teams would head in separate directions. My Swiss team would drive southwest to minister to French-speaking Africans. But now, being in the middle of the rugged desert, West Africa seemed a long way away. As we headed toward Niger, I became anxious by what we encountered. There was no longer a clearly defined track. The road, indicated by tall posts planted upright every mile and a half, crossed a wide sea of sand. At each post, I could faintly see the next marker on the line of the horizon. I knew if we traveled after sundown, we could easily miss a marker and get lost. Even if we found our way again, we risked using up our fuel and water before reaching the next oasis. The possibility of getting lost, and the terrible consequences of that, weighed on me heavily, making me feel like one of the overloaded camels I had seen. I was responsible for these students and staff on Youth with a Mission's first outreach to these parts of French-speaking Africa. They were depending on me as their leader. As these thoughts raced through my mind, I corrected myself. No, Lord, they are depending on you. We all are. Please get us safely across this huge desert and into West Africa. We had decided to make this crossing because we felt God had specifically led our school to minister in Africa following our 3-month lecture phase in Europe. In prayer before the start of the school in October 1974, he had assured us that this vision was his, not ours. The first 3 days out of Tamanrasset were a perpetual battle against sand traps, light-colored patches of soft sand in which vehicles sank to their axles and became firmly stuck. The faster we drove, the less likely we were to bog down. One day, 6 vehicles got caught at the same time. It took us the entire afternoon to dig them out. We couldn't afford to lose that much time or fuel again. We would be at risk of not reaching our destination. Carrying just enough fuel and water for those 6 days meant that getting lost would be disastrous. Life is short without water. One van driver was assigned the lead and at times stopped to find road markers with binoculars. The other vans followed from a safe distance at a steady speed, tracking the cloud of dust. Sometimes, spreading out 6 vehicles abreast, we raced over the terrain, trying to avoid the soft patches and the never-ending fields of sand. On our 4th day of travel out of Tamanrasset, we crossed into Niger, where the desert spread before us like a large beige blanket. I stared through my dust-streaked windshield, searching for a track through the desert. My vehicle occasionally shuddered and churned sand as it struggled to keep from getting caught. For quite a while, on our 5th day out, I hadn't seen any markers. But I didn't give it much thought since I was following the lead vehicle. 2 hours later, driving down a slight slope, we stopped at a dead end. A large field of 30-to-40-foot sand dunes blocked our way. All the vehicles halted in a line. I walked up to the lead vehicle and asked the driver, Keith, "What happened? Where's the track?" I don't know. We're lost. The last few marker posts have fallen and disappeared under the sand. I saw faint vehicle tracks forking left and right, so I followed one of the tracks. The more forks I came to, the more confused I got. Now, I don't know where we are. My thoughts raced. We have to find a way back to the road. If we could see the open desert, maybe we could tell the way. But we can't see anything from down here. Keith and I laboriously trudged up the sand dune in front of us and looked around. The hills in front of us stretched out of sight. The wavy line of the horizon meant more dunes beyond it. I looked west and saw a slim corridor of flat ground where the sand dunes ended. "The horizon over there is flat," I said. "That must be the way." Keith agreed, and we climbed down the dune. When we reached the desert floor, two Tuareg boys, desert nomads, came out from among the sand dunes, waving to us. They didn't speak English or French, but the older one, gesturing with his hands, seemed to be asking us where we were going. I turned an imaginary steering wheel and pointed west, smiling. The boy dug his toes into the sand, indicating more soft sand in that direction. Then he faced east and pointed the opposite direction to what Keith and I had chosen. Could God have sent this boy to show us the way?